Pittsburgh, I love ya. This is Brian Edward, and you're listening to Berg Vivant, Pittsburgh's cultural talk magazine, delivered digitally, straight up, shaken, and stirred. Tonight's broadcast brought to you by our spectacular sponsors and strategic partners, Zafalo's Banquet and Event Center, Carnegie, Pennsylvania, one of the most beautiful and unique venues in the greater Pittsburgh area for weddings, corporate dinners, fundraisers, and more. Visit clubzafalo.com. Off the Wall Theater, enlivening, educating, and entertaining audiences in the Pittsburgh region. View their current season at insideoffthewall.com. Arcade Comedy Theater, hosting local and national comedians, sketch comedy, improv, and more. 811 Liberty Avenue, downtown. Be sure to like them on Facebook or find them at arcadecomedytheater.com. Berg Vivant is a proud supporter of Firefly Arts, creating opportunities and support for families living with autism through innovative arts programming. You can learn more and show your support at fireflyarts.org. Welcome back, Lonnie the Theater Lady. Happy holidays.
Oh, and the same to you. I'm feeling very festive.
You look very festive.
Well, the play the other night that I saw, Mrs. Bob Cratchit's Wild Christmas Binge, has certainly put me in the holiday spirit. I've been laughing ever since.
And really, I think if there are any two people qualified to discuss wild binges...
Here we are.
Here we are.
Well, nothing like Mrs. Bob Cratchit's. Oh. Fortunately, neither of us have tried throwing ourselves into the Thames.
But we just haven't been to Europe lately.
But still, that's a very cold river. Mm. And she tried several times. It didn't work, but she was trying. Yes, indeed.
So what is this play about? I mean, it's Christopher Durang, so we know that it's hilarious no matter what happens.
That's exactly right. I love him.
I mean, you can't lose with a play like this.
No, absolutely not. It was just so much fun. It's a retelling of the Dickens story, A Christmas Carol, mm-hmm. except that when Christopher Durang retells it, you think maybe he was doing some binging himself when he came up with some of these ideas. The play opens with the angel who has come on a mission to convince Scrooge that he needs to change his ways and not be so mean and nasty. And this ghost that came out was Deborah Bender. And she was dressed in this beautiful white strapless full glistening gown, and she truly did seem like an angel, and she sang a number that was so beautiful. She has a fantastic voice.
Oh, so it's not a musical, but there are musical elements to
there
it.
Were, I think there were four songs, but not a musical, just a few songs thrown in, but I was so glad I got to hear her sing because her voice was just lovely. It was a really crazy cast. Everybody did what they need to do in a Durang play. Just let it all out, no inhibitions, as crazy as you can be and as wild and over the top and loony as you can be, and they did it. And there was so much energy on that stage and so much laughter in the audience. Art DeConcilus was one of the leads. There were four leads, basically, and Art DeConcilus was Scrooge, and as I mentioned, the angel. Those people only had one character that they played, and Mrs. Bob Cratchit was Leah Hillgrove. She did such a great job because Mrs. Bob Cratchit was pretty cratchety and pretty unhappy about being so poor. And she said and did some really despicable things. However, she did it in such a way that you could empathize with her and still like the character, even though she came out with horrible things like, oh, I hate children. Oh, they're always hungry. They always want to be fed. You know, just as her poor starving kids were begging for food. And Mr. Bob Cratchit, who only played one role, was Bob Rock. Have you seen him before?
I know who he is, yes.
He was in an acting class with me several years ago, and that was the first class he had ever taken, and all of us in the class were astounded. Like, why is he here? You know, he's just a natural. And he has a way of playing a sweet, innocent, pure kind of character. And he did that with Mr. Bob Cratchit. beautifully. Now, the rest of the cast all had at least two characters that they played. Some of them played both male and female characters.
Oh, it's one of those kind of shows.
Oh, yeah. And the costumes were wonderful. They were from the Pittsburgh Playhouse. Oh. So they were fantastic, really authentic Dixonian. Is that right? Is that how you'd say it?
I understand your
from
meaning.
Dickens? Dixonsonian? Whatever.
Dickensian?
But, you know, the little duster caps on the women at times. And long waistcoats and top hats.
It's usually what I have my nightcap of brandy in, you know, or something very similar. You may have
reminded
seen
me of you. And
speaking of which, I mean, I think that the folks at home really ought to know that we almost wore the same hat today.
Yes, we did.
I mean, we avoided this by a slim margin of pre-planning. But costuming is very important, and even for our Berg Vivant episodes.
There you go.
Well, I mean, just to get you in this took a crew of six people.
With a crane and a hoist. Very heavy. Good thing I have a strong neck. So some of the other characters that were main characters, Tiny Tim, was played by a young man named Luke Grassi. And I found out that from the time he was cast until the time the show started, he grew quite a bit. He's in a growing spurt, but he was a great Tiny Tim. And even though he was a little tall for a Tiny Tim, he did a really good job.
Well, that in itself is comedy.
That's true. And everything about this was comedy.
I think if I were, to direct this, I probably would have cast an 8-foot-tall lumberjack as Tiny Tim.
He would have needed a really long cane.
An 8-foot-tall lumberjack who could do acrobatics. You know, because Tiny Tim was supposed to be, he had the little crutch. Did he have a broken leg or was he just really sickly? Why would Tiny Tim need a crutch?
Well, I don't mean to sound politically incorrect, but they use this term throughout the play, crippled.
Oh, okay.
And he would even say, I'm a poor little crippled boy.
Because I'm sure that in the book, Christmas Carol, it says, but in all the, film adaptations that you see every year, it never really says. I'm like, what? Kid's just got a sprained ankle. What's the big deal? But I guess
it was a little more
serious than that. Yeah, because
I think it was a lifelong kind of
problem. There was something. Back in those days, there were a lot of things.
Thank goodness we're not living in those days.
Well, we got our own issues now. But thank God we can go to a play and laugh, huh?
That's true. I don't think they had champagne back then, which really would have been a disaster.
That is a crisis.
Yeah.
That really is.
And then Little Nell was Tiny Tim's sister. She was amazing. Her name was Carrie Benson, and she did, as well as being Little Nell, she was one of two people, along with Andy Coleman, who was hilarious in this play. Oh my gosh. He played four different roles. Two of them, he had an accent, and the one that he was in with Carrie, they were supposed to be a Dutch couple, and they reenacted The Gift of the Magi only as a Dutch couple. And of course, with this dialogue that was so over the top, just even thinking about it, it's hard not to laugh. And also, we were talking about Little Nell, Carrie Benson. She was a horse at one point.
Now, how does one dramatically prepare for a role like that, do you think?
I'm not sure. I understand, but I'm not sure if this was a joke. It said in the playbill that she actually watched videos and studied horses' movements for a while before she did this. And
it's very method.
Yes. She was a horse on two legs, but...
Oh, well, I don't know where you'd find video footage of something like that.
I don't know.
Oh. We need to get her on the Actors Studio here.
What do they call that? Creative license? Artistic creative license?
They put a horse on two legs. But she pulled it off. She certainly did.
And the cast was rounded out by people that, for me to even begin to say who all they played and who they were, I'll just tell you the actors' names, because each of them had probably four parts.
Sure, sure.
And each of them did all four parts beautifully, with wigs, costume changes, sex changes, just, oh my gosh, it was so funny. There was Abby Martz and James Curry, Dale Irvin, Hadley Allen and Helga Tare. And she was great in her brunette wig because, as you know, she's very, very blonde and very fair. And she had a brunette wig on at one time. A lot of it was just the physical comedy of how funny everybody looked. And of course, the lines were hysterical.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, at one time, Art DeConcilus as Scrooge had thrown himself
Art DeConcilus is Scrooge. That's perfect. I can see it. I should go see this.
You should.
I need to see it.
Oh, and if you plan to go, please make sure you get your reservation very soon. I understand some of the shows are already sold out.
Oh, yeah, a lot of people are going to see it. Well, you know, it's a spoof on a classic. You know, we all love this story, and we all know the story. So when something comes along that can, like, totally make a send-up of it, it's great.
And the other thing about it that was so much fun, it's not just, they didn't just stick with the Christmas Carol. There were references in there to characters from It's a Wonderful Life that played a big part in it. The Little Match Girl.
No Christmas icon is safe.
I think they touched about just about every one of them.
Did you wear your hat?
No. Had I known how funny that it was going to be, I would have. I would have worn this.
You just sit in the back, though, you know. Like, it's hard to see over.
Yeah. Well, it's a little intimate theater. I could have found somewhere that I wouldn't be blocking
some
somebody's
corner
view
to go into.
But I don't know if I mentioned this. This play has a little bit of a Pittsburgh connection because its world premiere was here in Pittsburgh in 2002 at the City Theater.
Yes, I do recall that. Now, you know what? I did see that.
Did
I've seen
you?
This.
Okay.
Thank you for reminding me. I have seen this. I saw it when it premiered at the City Theater.
Well,
I did.
Some of our favorites were in it.
Oh, Sheila McKenna was Mrs. Bob Cratchit, I do believe.
And
she was a damn riot, that woman. Oh, my God. It was a funny play. It is a funny play.
It is.
Thank you for reminding me of that.
And Larry John Meyer was in it when it was here.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going back because...
It's 2002.
God, 2002. That's over 10 years ago.
Good. Your math is very good, Brian.
I'm surprised, too, after, you know.
But it played well at the Little Lake, I think, because of how intimate the theater is and how small it is. And you were so close to the characters that really made it a lot of fun and made it very humorous. And when Andy Coleman came out, I don't want to give it away, but he played also a female role in this with another type of accent. Again, I don't want to give too much away. I laughed about that all day yesterday. It would just at random times pop in my head, and I would see Andy in that big red wig and hear his accent. Oh my gosh.
So it's a good time out for the holidays.
Oh, it certainly is. I wish that I had time to see it again.
Well, maybe you do. It's running until
December 14th.
December 14th.
So it's
we
next
encourage
weekend.
Everybody to get out and see it and make a reservation.
Yes.
Because
ASAP.
The theater is not exactly large,
and it's selling
quite
out.
A few people are going to go see it and laugh for the holidays. That's good. Well, what appeals to you most about the Dickens story itself, Christmas Carol?
I think what appeals to me the most about it is that it lends itself to being retold with so many different versions over the years, whether it's the movie Scrooged with
Bill Murray. Oh, God, I love that movie. I watch it every year.
I love that, too. And
Carol Kane is the fairy.
Yeah.
Hey, do you think? And she's always punching him in the face or kicking him in the crotch.
Well, this...
I'm going to watch that today.
You know, the ghost, Deborah Bender, last night was that kind of a
Did
fairy.
Did she channel Carol Kane?
She had a way of zapping and with her magic wand. And of course, in this version, the poor fairy ghost, they called her, gets everything confused. She ends up at the wrong house, and she's supposed to be in the future. She ends up in the past. She's supposed to be going to the past and going to the future. And that made it even funnier. The whole thing was so disjointed, but yet so easily followed, because you just knew, expect the unexpected, because that's what's happening. And I loved the part where they were lifting the trap door and looking down into the basement at the Cratchit's home, the root cellar, where the 20 starving children were all huddled down there because they didn't have room for them or food for them, so they just had them down in the root cellar. There were several references to that.
You know, I've always enjoyed the Fezziwigs.
Oh, as,
I mean, in the original story, they seem to have become an embodiment of Christmas cheer and holiday revelry, you know. Whenever I see those two portrayed in any medium, whether it be legitimate or parody, you know, I always enjoy those two. I'd like to party with the Fezziwigs. I really would.
I'd like to have some of the costumes that Mrs. Fezziwig was wearing.
Okay, now see, so you have seen this production. I have not.
Yeah. But, yeah, they were. The Fezziwigs were in there, of course. They, every character, I think, in addition to some new ones.
Oh, good. Well, good time out.
Imaginary ones.
Excellente. Yes. So we'll get out to Little Lake, despite the chill, and take in some wild Christmas binging. What in your mind, defines a wild Christmas binge?
Well, certainly not what Mrs. Bob Cratchit was doing.
What would you do for a wild Christmas binge?
Oh, let's see. What have I done for wild Christmas binges?
Oh, you're actually looking at what you have done. Oh, my. Okay,
well, to see, you have to look back to know what to do in the future.
Okay. Yeah. Kind of like in this play, the ghost takes you to the past. So,
that's right.
Wild Christmas binges past. You got any good ones?
None that I can really repeat. But I can remember one. It was the first time I ever tried a martini.
Oh, wow. And we are going back.
Oh,
so what,
back.
You were about 6 years old?
No, I was actually legal.
Oh.
And my friend invited me to her brother's for Christmas Eve, and he was known for making his martinis. He was very famous for it. And I had heard of martinis, but I was just out of college. What did I know? Beer, Ripple, Ballyhigh.
Ripple. Oh, my God. Ripple. I can't believe
80 cents a bottle.
Oh, my God. I haven't heard about Ripple. I don't know how long.
I don't even know if they still make
it. God, no, no. Ripple's an antique.
Oh, is it?
Oh, yeah. Ripple's been gone a long time.
What does that say about me?
Now they got box wine instead of Ripple.
Okay.
Yeah.
And well, jug there you wine. Go. But I had been to one friend's and had some chopped liver before I went to my other friend's and had the martinis. And I don't think I need to say anything else about how that night ended.
Chopped liver and martinis. My God, that's like the diet of a 75-year-old retired stockbroker.
Jewish stockbroker, because it was chopped liver. Her parents had, she was Jewish, they had a Christmas Eve party because they said if they didn't, they didn't know what else to do with themselves. You know, there was nothing to do if you were Jewish on Christmas Eve.
Let's stuff liver down this poor college grad.
And let her go drink martinis somewhere else and see what happens.
So I take it they didn't mix well.
No, not so much. Mm. And I had Mexican after that at another
friend's. Oh, my God. Woman, how are you alive?
I wasn't sure that Christmas Day.
I know where you spent most of your Christmas, in the bathroom. Jeez, man.
That was a long time ago.
Yeah,
I know better now.
In closing, we would like to once again thank our spectacular sponsors and strategic partners, Off the Wall Theater, Cefalo's Banquet and Events Center, Carnegie, Pennsylvania, Arcade Comedy Theater, Downtown, and BergVivant is a proud supporter of Firefly Arts, creating opportunities and support for families living with autism through innovative arts programming. Find out more and show your support at fireflyarts.org. And be sure to follow Pittsburgh's Cultural Talk magazine online. You can find BergVivant, the It in Pittsburgh, on Facebook, Twitter, or subscribe for free at www.bergvivant.com. This is Brian Edwards saying cheers and good night.